I took a few extra minutes in the front. No docking. I heard somebody say no docking of time. I appreciate that. Glory to God. Go with me to Luke, the 11th chapter. For the past number of weeks, we've been on a series that we're calling Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray. Now, if you haven't been with us, you've missed some good preaching. Think of my grandma when I say that. She was a great cook. And of course, back in her day, and there was no microwaves and no instant anything. So she's standing over a pot that she's been working on half a day, and she'd go, that is good if I did make it myself. And she wasn't lying either. But I believe the Lord's answering our prayers about teaching us how to pray. I've learned things. I'm growing, and I trust that you are too. And I have the excitement and sense that if enough of us as a church really start praying more and in the right way, it will change. It'll change us, our families, change our communities, our country. You believe that? The fact is, most people just don't pray. Barely. Or none at all. Even including church-going people. And there are numerous reasons why. And so that's what we've been talking about. And so if you haven't been with us, go online and to the church and ministry websites and are the Word Supply, and you can get all the previous messages, no cost, no charge, won't cost you a penny, and it'll help you because we're building upon everything that has gone before. In Luke 11, the scripture said, it came to pass that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, Luke 11, 1, that when he ceased praying, his disciples came and said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So they had been watching and hearing Jesus pray for a while. And they would see him oftentimes go off by himself and pray for hours, sometimes all night long. And so after a while of that, you know, many of them grew up around synagogue. They had heard about prayer and praying to God. But being around him, something was different. And that's why they got to this point where they're saying, Lord, teach us to pray. What are they saying? Like you. Like you do. And they said, John taught his disciples to pray. Well, we're your disciples. You know, you teach us to pray. Like you. Well, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, is Matthew's account of the same happening. Go there if you would. Matthew 6. Verse 5 here, he talked about that when they asked him how to teach them to pray, he began to tell them what not to do. How not to pray. He said, don't pray to be seen of men. Verse 6, he said, pray in secret. Verse 7, and when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. You got to watch about just saying the same things over and over again, mindlessly. The Lord said, don't do that. So we are creatures of habit. Have you found this out? Yeah. Oh, brother. And you got to watch yourself that you don't get in a rut, just saying the same thing, doing the same thing, and your heart's not in it, and your mind's not on it. The Lord's not interested in that. In fact, he told you and I, don't do that. He said they think they'll be heard because of the volume of their speaking. They're much speaking. But the inference is they won't be. It's wasted. He said vain. Vain means useless. No good. So verse 8. He said, you don't pray like the heathen. Your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. And in verse 9, He said, after this manner pray ye therefore, our Father. He had just got through saying, your Father knows what things you have need of. And then He says, pray like this, our Father which is in heaven. So the first thing about effective prayer is that you know who you are addressing. Who you are talking to. I've heard people say, well, I believe in prayer. I believe strong in prayer. Well, so do millions of people who pray to other gods all over the earth. No, it's not just praying that causes things to happen. There's a God, the living God, who hears and answers prayers. He does the things. You know, when God answers a prayer, don't give the credit to you praying. You didn't do it. You're to be commended. You had enough sense to pray and you knew who to go to. But don't take the credit for it happening because you're not the one who did it. God answered the prayer. Give Him the glory. Give Him the praise. Give Him the recognition. And so He said, your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. Now, He still told you to ask. And there are numerous reasons why, including some legalities. You have not because you didn't ask. But you need to be reminded that you are never informing Him of something He didn't know. Right? And you need to remind yourself, and I need to remind myself continually, how great our God is. Amen. How awesome our Father, that we could call Him Father, is one of the greatest privileges in the universe. And the one who created the earth and the heavens and the universe and life and all things will allow us to come confidently before the throne of grace. Yes. Hallelujah. And get grace and get mercy and help when we need it.
Yes.
But we need to continually remind ourselves of who we are talking to. He is so great. He is so great. You can tell a lot of times people don't know Him very well by how they talk about Him. People who do know Him a little bit, they are so impressed with Him. He is so awesome. He is so amazing. There's some reverence that goes there. Not stiffness, but reverence and respect and appreciation. And when the Lord said, after this manner, Matthew 6, 9, after this manner, pray ye. Now that doesn't mean, what He gives in these next couple of verses is what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's actually the Lord teaching His disciples and us how He prays. It's for us. And so you could pray this whole prayer in less than a minute. And He already warned us, don't just pray it mindlessly by rote and repetition. So what He's saying is, pray after this manner. Not these exact words mindlessly in repetition. After this manner. Everybody say, after this manner. God's Word translation says, this is how you should pray. Well, this is in response to their question, teach us to pray. The Living Bible says it like this. The Living Bible says, pray along these lines. Do you hear that? After this manner, pray along these lines. Now, obviously, Jesus said a lot more than these phrases when He's praying for hours at a time, when He's praying all night long. He's not praying vain repetitions, but He's telling us the priorities in prayer and the focus in prayer. And the very first thing is, who are you talking to? Our Father. Hallelujah. Sometimes I like to say, my Father. My Father. Where is He? He's in heaven. Hallelujah. My Father, who is in heaven, hallowed. Need to show some respect, don't we? Reverence. Honor. Hallowed be your name. And it's all right to take a few moments right there and just worship. Yes. Right? Yes. Lord, we worship You. We reverence how great You are. How awesome You are. Thank You. Great and mighty God. He who sits above everything. Yes. Hallelujah. The great mighty throne where all the power that keeps all the stars shining and all the planets in their orbits. That's where it's coming from. It's coming out of Him. Yes. Coming from Him. And I get to talk to Him. And that He would actually listen to me. There's billions of us down here. But that He actually knows who I am. Knows my name. Cares about me. Keeps up with the number of hairs on my head. Something I don't do. Huh? That means He cares more about you than you do. Our Father, my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And now listen to the very first thing that the Lord says after that. Everybody say it out loud with me. Your, now hold up, who are you talking to? Our Father who's in heaven. Father, Your, my heavenly Father's kingdom. Your kingdom come. Not my kingdom. Not Your kingdom. That's right. Huh? His, Your kingdom come, and this goes right along with it. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This should be always our first priority. Y'all with me or not? This should always be first priority. Don't start off praying about what you think you need or want. That's good. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Why? Because finding out the will of God for the day may make that stuff moot and unnecessary. It may not even be relevant after you find out what His will and plan is. Finding out His will is one of the biggest reasons we should pray. Finding His will. Finding out His will. And here is, I'm going to say something and you need to think about it. If you don't pray, you won't find out. And it won't happen anyway. This is something many have not believed, they've not understood, and that's why the enemy has pushed so hard this false belief that God is controlling everything and that everything that happens is the will of God. Well, what that means is the will of God is going to happen whether you know about it or whether you don't. Or whether you pray about it or whether you don't. And that is a lie. That is not true. It's not true. The will of God is not being done throughout the earth. The will of the enemy is being done. The will of the flesh is being done. The will of evil people is being done. Not God. And if God's will is already being done, you wouldn't need to pray that it would be. Did He tell us, pray this? Your kingdom come. Pray Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is not hard to figure out. If you got to take a quick trip to heaven today. One of the reasons that you ought not do that is because you wouldn't want to come back. And there's mercy that we don't know exactly how wonderful and great it is there, because we'd be wanting to go now. But if you got to go there, do you know how different it is from the earth? How much crime in heaven? Huh? Will the angels catch you as you're cruising through heaven and go, oh, don't go down that street. You don't want to go down there, especially not after dark, you know. That's a such and such section of heaven. No, how much crime do they have in heaven? Come on, help me out. How much? Zero.
Zero.
Zero. Zero. How much sickness?
Zero.
Huh? How much poverty?
Zero.
How many people starving to death in heaven? Not a one. You know why? Because God's will is being done in heaven. And if God's will was being done in earth, it would look like heaven. Isn't that what he just got through saying? Pray, your will, your kingdom come, your will be done where? On earth. How? God doesn't have two different wills. One for heaven and a different one for earth. So if he told us to pray, thy will be done, about the will of God, are we going to find and know the will of God anyway if we don't pray? Is it going to happen anyway if we don't do what he said and pray about it? Well, the answer is no. The answer is no. Go with me, if you would, to Colossians, the fourth chapter. Colossians chapter 4. I'm excited about this. I think we're getting stirred up. I think we're going to know how to pray more effectively. Know why we should. Be motivated. Amen. In Colossians, the fourth chapter, and verse 2. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer. Now, you'll find numerous phrases like this in the New Testament. Pray without ceasing. That kind of thing. Basically, you know, prayer is a way of life. And that doesn't mean you're praying every breath. There's times you're eating. There's times you're asleep. There's all that kind of thing. The Lord knows that. But you don't go a day and don't pray. Everybody said out loud, I pray.
I pray.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
I pray.
How many days?
Every day.
Are you off on Saturday?
No.
Or whatever? Every day. Continue in prayer means don't stop. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. If you're praying in faith, you're going to be giving some thanks. Because you're going to believe God heard your prayers.
Yes.
Right? And it won't just be this endless begging. But you'll believe God heard you, and you'll be given thanks. Verse 3, withal, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He said, pray for us. Verse 4, and that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. You know, one of the greatest favors you ever did yourself was pray for your ministers. Because what's coming into them and coming through them to you is affecting you. Now skip down to verse 12. In verse 12 he says, Epaphras, who is one of you. That is, he's from their area and from their church there in Colossae. One of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you. In other words, he says, he sends his greetings and hi. And he's always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Huh. Is that needful? Huh? Always laboring fervently for you. For his people back home at his church in Colossae. And that he goes on to talk about the broader area too. said, Epaphras, the Spirit of God through Paul is making them aware of what a friend and brother they have in Epaphras. They said, he's praying for you all the time. And he labors fervently in prayers. Well, now this is not just a nothing, ho-hum, idle along prayer. What's the laboring about? What's the fervent about? Are y'all okay? You want to talk about this? Laboring fervently for you in prayers. Now let's look at what he's praying. Huh? That you may stand perfect and complete in what? The first thing the Lord said pray about. Oh, come on, can you see this or not? The first thing he said pray about, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's praying about the will of God. That what? That Mama and them and all his cousins and the pastors and the evangelists and all of his church friends there in Colossae, his church, his people, every day he's praying, Lord, show them your plan. Lord, reveal to them your will. Open their eyes to this. Open their ears to this. Remind them. And he's praying with his understanding. And he's praying in other tongues. He's praying in the Spirit. And he's coming up against some things that seem like resistance, but he won't quit. Right. Hallelujah. And he pushes. And he's fervent about it. And he labors in it. And he does it not just today, but again tomorrow. And again the next day. Why? Because every day of your life, honey child, you need to know the will of God. From the time you open your eyes, everywhere you go, everything you do, what is the will of God?
Yeah, that's good.
This is absolutely one of the biggest things there is. Now, if the will of God is going to happen, whether or not, what's the point in all this laboring so that people would know the will? No, see, the church has been lied to. The church has been deceived about this God is in control. Oh, it sounds like a good thought. And if you're talking ultimately that God's going to get his plan done, he is going to get his plan done. With you or without you. But if his will is going to be done in your life and my life, we got to give him some cooperation. And we must, he's not going to override our will and force us to do something, force us to do his will. Laboring fervently. Everybody say laboring. Fervently. Now, go with me, if you would, to the book of Luke. Hold your place there in Colossians. We're not done with that. But go to Luke 22. Luke 22. Luke 22 and 44. We see Jesus at prayer. Luke 22, 44. And at this point in his prayer, it says, being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. Now let's just stop right here. Is he praying? Huh? Is it easy? No. Now see, we read that over in Colossians that Epaphras was laboring fervently. That's the same word that's translated fight, where it says fight the good fight of faith. Fighting in prayer. Same word. Well, who are you fighting? Who doesn't want you to know the will of God? You're not fighting God. Well, what's going on with Jesus right here? Why is he in an agony? You could sure say fighting fervently. About what? As he prayed more earnestly, laboring fervently, his sweat was like great drops of blood falling to the ground. I mean, this is intense. We'll back up just a couple of verses to verse 42. It tells you exactly what he was praying. What's he praying? What's he praying about? The will of God. Isn't that right? He's praying about the will of God. Is the Father forcing Jesus to do his will and accomplish and complete redemption? No, he is not. But is Jesus willing to do his will? And you see it right here in verse 42. He said, Father, if you be willing. Now, you can back up right to what we just read in Matthew 6. After this manner, pray. Yeah. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will. I mean, he's praying the same thing he told us to pray in Matthew 6. Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Now, he didn't leave this place of prayer not knowing what the will was. He got it settled. He didn't say, well, whatever God's will is, it'll happen. He did not say that. Because he told them, didn't they know he could call on the Father and legions of angels would come and deliver him out of that? Well, why didn't he do that? Because he had got it settled what the will of God was. Oh, friend, this is the thing that'll get you through the toughest places in life, that you sought God, you asked him, Remember what Jesus said? Ask. It'll be given to you. Seek. And you'll find. Knock. And it'll be open to you. That you asked. That you sought. And if you weren't clear on it, you didn't quit. You kept praying. And if you didn't get it today, you prayed some more about it tomorrow. Come on, y'all with me? Until you got it. Settled. What the will of God is. And when you get that, you got the solid foundation to stand on, that your faith is based on, and nothing can move you off of it.
Right.
And just like Jesus, he endured all the pain, the scourging, the cross. Why? He knew it was the will of God. He got it settled. Well, the servant's not above his master. If Jesus had to pray and get it settled like that, in, you know, in an intense prayer like this, well, there'll be times that you and I have to keep pushing on it.
Yeah.
Right? And like Epaphras, labor fervently in prayer. Why? What is there to labor about? What is? Because there's resistance against the will of God. And there's the enemy will try to keep you and I in the dark and try to keep us confused. And that's what you have to push against and keep laboring fervently until you get past that and over that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And that you make up your mind, nothing and nobody can keep me from finding out and getting settled what God's will is on this.
Yes, sir.
And if you'll be persistent, you'll get it.
Yeah.
I said, you'll get it.
Yeah.
You'll get to the place where you're settled. And when you are, you can't be moved. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Go back with me to Colossians 4. Let's read that again. Verse 12, Colossians 4, 12. He said, Epaphras, who's one of you? Now, what you'll find is that Epaphras, don't go there, but Philemon 23, he said, there salutes you, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner. in Christ Jesus. Or the complete English says, Epaphras is also here in jail. But he's making good use of his time. Oh, come on, can y'all see this? He's making good use of his time, doing what? They shut up his body, but they couldn't corral his prayers. His prayers went right out of the prison. Hallelujah. Right out of the prison, went right up to heaven, affected his church and his home folks back home. How many know you can touch the world and never leave the house? Huh? If you pray the right way. And what is one of the main things you should always be looking at, thinking of? What is the will of God? Don't assume you know. Now, whatever the Word says, you know that's the will of God. But then what about all the particulars about my individual life? Your individual life, your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, your sisters, your brothers. Don't just say, I know what they need. No, you don't. You don't know enough. Back up and say, Lord, and you need to pray like the Master on things like this, not my will. Maybe you think you know what they need to do or what they don't need to do, but you don't know enough. He said that Epaphras is praying. Let me read this from the Weymouth translation. He said, he is always wrestling on your behalf in his prayers. For what? That you may stand firm, Christians of ripe character, that you grow up, and of a clear conviction as to everything which is God's will. That you get clear on it. Yeah. Somebody say clear.
Clear,
clear to hear.
Clear.
The CEV Bible. The CEV Bible says that you may, Epaphras was praying, laboring fervently in prayer, that you may fully know what the Lord wants you to do and you may do it completely.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Is this not one of the greatest ways you could pray for anybody?
Yeah.
Huh? Pray what? Lord, show them what your will is. Reveal it to them, confirm it to them, and grace them to do it. Whatever they need to do it and completely do it, pray with understanding, pray in the Spirit. Can you pray more than 5 minutes about these things? More than an hour? Huh? Is there always more to learn about the will of God and the plan of God, and every day is a new day? This is one of the big reasons we should pray. And it's what we should pray for. And what the Lord said, how to pray. The New International Reader's Version, he says, Epaphras sends greetings. He's one of you. He serves Christ Jesus. He's always praying hard for you. He prays that you will stand firm in holding to all that God has in mind for us. He prays you will continue to grow in your knowledge of what God wants you to do. He also prays that you'll be completely sure about it. That you'll know it, you'll be sure of it, and do it completely. Do what? 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 The will of God. Everybody said out loud, my Father, who is in heaven,
hallowed
be your name.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
Your will
be done.
In earth.
In us.
As it is in heaven.
Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said pray. That's the first thing he mentioned. That's right at the top of the list. Priority of what you pray about on a daily basis. And we can be led by the Spirit. We're supposed to be. And that includes what people might call small things. Do I go to the store or not? I'm serious. Huh? Do we do that trip or not? Do I buy that thing or not? Do we do that deal with them or not? We must get above just looking at the money or the time frame or the pressure or the people or the deal. What's the will of God? Isn't that what we need to know? That's what we need to know. And no matter how much research you've done and negotiating you've done, you don't know the future. You don't know everything going on in their lives. There's just so much you'd never know enough to make the perfect decision every time. But when the Spirit of God leads you, it's right. And it's right tomorrow. Hallelujah. And it's right for everybody. And it's good. But you won't get that if you don't pray. I said you won't get that if you don't pray. I gave you this earlier in the series. I want to read it to you again. Are you ready?
Yes.
People say, do I really have to pray? Do I really have to pray all the time? No, you don't. You don't have to pray. If you're okay not knowing what's going on, don't pray. If you're okay stumbling around in the darkness, not knowing what to do, don't pray. If you don't mind being clueless as to what to do about everything, don't pray. If you can live without knowing God's plan for your life, don't pray. If you're willing to risk not knowing what the enemy has planned for you, don't pray. If you're fine being ignorant of the devil's devices, don't pray. If you're okay with wasting your efforts and all your resources and accomplishing nothing, don't pray. If you're fine with guessing only to find out later that it wasn't the Lord, don't pray. If you like going to other people and getting wrong answers, don't pray. If you're fine not having any of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in your life, don't pray. If you can tolerate going year after year with the same problems and not knowing why they don't change, don't pray. If you're okay being bored and not having any excitement in life, don't pray. What do you think? What do you think?
Let's pray.
Let's pray. What do you think? Do you want to know?
Yes.
Do you want to find out?
Yes,
yeah, you do.
Yes,
but what I'm saying is it won't happen anyway if you and I don't pray. You know, everything, you know, that we're talking about, this church that you're sitting in, that we started, you know, years ago, that started with some praying. You might know what I'm talking about? God put something on Phyllis and my heart. And we prayed and we sought and we prayed and we sought, and it took a little while to get it settled. And then we didn't see how it could be done, but when we got it settled that it was the will of God, we believed that somehow it could happen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And we took steps that way. But if we had never prayed and never sought, would we have gotten settled anyway? Would it have happened anyway? And that's true with every project we've every kingdom project we've ever done. You know, I was down, you know, with the Savelles and Brother Jerry's daughter, Terry Ann, asked me, she said, how did that come up to you to even do that? She said, how long? I said, I'd been praying about it about 8 months. And I got it settled.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And then when we presented it, you guys got excited about it too, right? That it was the Lord. But not just something off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Not that you thought it was a good thing. No, you need to hear from God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you're not clear, what do?
Pray.
You keep seeking the Lord. Ask.
Yeah.
It'll be given to you. What? Seek.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Somebody said, well, I don't have it yet. Well, keep seeking.
Yeah.
Right? Keep looking.
Yep.
You can get settled.
Yes.
You can get clear. But a lot of people just don't pray enough about it. And they're just too busy with other things and it's not a priority. And many believe the lie that if it's the will of God, it's going to happen. And that's not true. That's not true. If we don't seek Him, if we don't believe it, if we don't step out to obey it, it won't happen for us. He'll get done what He wants done, but He'll have to use somebody else that will pray, that will listen. How many will lift a hand and say, no, I volunteer, right? I'll pray, I'll listen, I'll obey, right? Look with me in Colossians, that's the fourth chapter, back up to the first chapter. Colossians 1, and you'll see he's talking about these things all through this epistle. And if you, once you're aware of this, watch how many times you're going to notice it now reading the scriptures about praying about the will of God. It's just all through the Word. In Colossians 1, verse 7, he was talking about Epaphras back there. In the first chapter, he said, you've learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who has declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also. Now, see, he said Epaphras had been praying for him, laboring fervently in prayer that they would find out, know, be sure of, and completely do the will of God. But see, he had already said that that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Himself.
Yeah.
Well, where did Epaphras learn it?
Mm.
Right? Paul's their man of God.
Right.
He's traveling with him. He's helping him. Where did he learn these things? Well, see, Paul says by the Spirit, since the day we heard it, we don't cease to pray for you. About what? What's he praying for? And desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Is that something that's going to take more than a day for you to get a hold of? Huh? And grow in and walk out and live. And once you learn some of it and you grow some, now you're able to understand more of it. There's always more to know, filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Notice the effects of this, what follows this. Keep going. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Well, if you're doing His will, being fruitful in every good work, because you're doing His will, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Keep going. Strengthened with all might to do what? His will, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, doing His will, giving thanks unto the Father who's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And it goes on. But it is, what's he praying about? Filled with the knowledge of His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Back up to that ninth verse. Back up to that ninth verse. Said out loud, Father God, I pray for myself. And I desire that I might be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This covers every area of life. Everything. I mean, from the way you comb your hair. I'm telling you. To where you go, what you do, who you see. Everything. There is a best way and a good way and a right way. And if you ask the Lord, He'll show you. He'll tell you.
Yes.
Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Go with me to, just put up on the screen Matthew 16, and we'll get to the conclusion here. The biggest threat to God's will is your will. The biggest obstacle to God's plan is your plan. Did you know that? And millions of people are doing it and don't realize they're doing it. They just make their plans. They never ask God. They never check in with Him. There's two big errors and big lies in this area. We've already talked about one of them. One of them is that God's will is going to happen in your life no matter what you do or don't do. That's a lie. That's not true. And the second one is that I can work it out by myself. What do you mean? I can figure it out. I get up in the morning and I'll make a plan. What plan? Where'd you get that plan? Huh? So many times it's just reactions to what's going on and what's perceived as being needed. And the enemy is a master of distraction. If you're led by external things, he will keep you upset and mad and disturbed about something all the time. And you'll be busy, 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 busy doing nothing that's going to matter 1,000 years from now. Huh? And you don't know it, but you don't have many years left. You're running out of time to get the will of God done. And the enemy wants to keep you preoccupied with all this stuff until it's too late. You're breathing your last breath. You're leaving here. You're saved. But you didn't do the will of God. You didn't do what He had called you to do. And you think, man, I thought I'd have more time. Yeah, that's the trick of the enemy. If he can just get you preoccupied with your plan, somebody else's plan, your things, which is why we must discipline ourselves and start every day with this. Huh? My Father, who is in heaven, above all of the chaos and junk down here on the earth. He's got a clear view. Hallelujah. He sees it the way it is and the way it needs to be. My Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. I want to be a part of your kingdom being built, your church being built, your body being grown and developed. And the way that's going to happen is your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. I can't control everybody else, but I can sure pursue the will of God in my life. Right? And make up your mind, you're not just going to do what mama wants to do. You're not just going to do what your friend wants to do. Come on, y'all with me?
Yeah.
Huh? You're not even just, you know, I've had people, you know, when we first started this church, the Lord quickened to me in a time of prayer. I'd never pastored, Phyllis and I, and didn't know exactly what to do. I'm asking Him for His will. Help me out. And this is what He said to me. He said, Keith, if you're always giving in to people, who's doing what they want to do? Who's leading this? I thought, well, it wouldn't be me. He said, if I'd have wanted them over it, I could have put them over it. And He said, you'll stand before me and give an account of how you led it. And so I took that seriously.
Yes, sir.
Wouldn't you? And people, I didn't know why, but I found out pretty soon. People came and said, we want to do this. So the church is getting started, you know. And I said, no. They said, no. I said, no. And some other folks said, well, we really want to do this. I said, no. No. And then one group of folks, they said, well, we want to do this. And I said, no. They said, well, if we don't do it, we're leaving. I said, sorry. And they left. What they didn't realize is, I don't do what I want to do. Why am I just going to do what you want to do? And I'm going to have to give an account that it went wrong because of what you did? No. If I'm going to answer for a mistake, it's going to be mine. Yeah, with me or not? And I don't need a reason not to do something. I need direction to do it. Right? How am I going to know what that is? I need to pray. Phyllis is a wonderful prayer, but she can't just do my praying for me. Right? I got to pray for myself.
Yes.
You expect me to pray.
That's right.
Huh? You assume I'm praying quite a bit. Right? You'd be offended if I wasn't. I said, Brother Keith hadn't prayed in 6 months. You'd be, what? That would be completely unacceptable. Well, don't you also need to know the will of God?
Yes.
Don't you also need to know what to do every day of your life? Need direction? We won't know it if we don't pray about it. If we don't ask, if we don't seek, if we don't knock. But if we do, we can be what we do. Do you believe God heard that prayer that we just prayed? We prayed it right out of the New Testament. Can we expect to be filled with the knowledge of His will? Oh, somebody say, I'm being filled. I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That means you'll start to do something or get involved in something and you'll just know what God's will is. You'll just know what to do. The Lord will show you with scriptures. He'll quicken you by His Spirit. He'll reveal it. He'll confirm it. And you won't be wondering, should we do this or not? Or I hope it's okay. Or you're not guessing. You're knowing. And if you don't know, help me out. What do you do? You pray some more. Pray some more until you get it settled. Go to Romans, the 8th chapter, and we'll conclude with this. And half of these notes will be good for another time. While you're turning, you're going to Romans 8 and verse 26, but put up on the screen Psalm 143 and 8. Oh man, there's so many good things to read about this. You know, Ephesians 5:17 says, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Does He expect us to find it out and to know it? In Psalm 143, the psalmist said this, verse 8. He said, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Don't assume you know. Ask. Seek. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift my soul up to you. Verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Everybody said out loud, Lord, cause me
to know the way
wherein I should walk.
Teach me
to do your will. For you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. This is prayer. Is He praying? You'll notice if you look at these Psalms closely, a lot of them are prayers. That's what they are. Some of them are praise and singing and thanksgiving. Some of them are prayers. He's praying. Now in Romans 8, and verse 26. Jesus said, you know, before He left, His disciples were really upset and bothered that He said He was leaving. And Peter said, man, if I have to die with you, no, I'm staying with you. And the Lord said, I won't leave you orphans. I won't leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter. And that means one like myself. The Holy Spirit. And what will He do? He will lead you and guide you into all the truth. He will bring to your remembrance everything I said to you. He will show you. He will take of mine and show you, and He will show you things to come. Would all this be parts of the will of God, the plan of God? Yes. Yes. And so here we see that you and I are actually involved in this. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Now, infirmity just means weakness. It could be a physical weakness, but it could be a mental weakness. In this case, He tells you what the weakness is: ignorance. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit of God's using Paul to write this. Did he know some things? Huh? And yet what does he say? We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. We need help even knowing what to pray for. Huh? But we got help. I said we have help. The Spirit itself, or the correct is Himself. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us, and is also with us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are things you can't express in your known tongue or with your mind, but the Spirit of God will help you. See, that's part of what was happening with Epaphras. He's laboring fervently. What's going on? He's sensing they're not getting it right. Yeah. Something's not going right over there. Lord, help me. So he's praying what he knows, and then he's praying in the Spirit. But what is he praying about? That they'd find out. Yeah. This is not the will of God. Quit doing that. This is the will of God. Yeah. Get on this with both feet. Embrace it with both arms. Stay with it. The enemy is always trying to get people out of the will of God. Prevent them from ever getting in the will of God. Confuse them about what the will of God. That's one of the biggest things the devil does. Blindness. Confusion. But the Spirit helps our weaknesses. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Keep going. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Friends, this is big. That you and I are able to pray beyond the limits of our understanding. We're able to work with heaven by the agency of His amazing Holy Spirit. Helping us. Somebody say helping. 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 Helping us do what? Here he's talking about helping us pray. Helping us pray. He that searches the hearts knows what's the mind of the Spirit. When you're praying in tongues and you're doing it in faith and you're doing it with anointing, you know a whole lot of what you're praying about? The will of God. Hallelujah. The will of God. The plan of God. The wisdom of God. Huh? Mysteries of His plan and will being revealed, being confirmed, being accomplished in the earth, just like it is. I about preached myself happy. Hallelujah. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Our great Father, which art in heaven, is hearing our heart, anointed and directed by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And things we can't even articulate. How can you pray about the will of God you never heard about and you don't know? By the Spirit you can. I said by the Spirit you can. And the Father hears the Spirit helping you because your heart is there. You want to know the will of God. You want to pray it. You want to do it. You didn't know how, but the Holy Ghost says, I got you. I got you. Pray like this. He'll give you words. He'll bring you verses. He'll give you utterance in another tongue. Hallelujah. He'll anoint you, and the Father hears exactly what He needs to hear to unleash revelation and grace. Because He's making intercession for the saints. That's what Epaphras was doing. And what about what? About what? About according to the will of God. Stand on your feet, everybody. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Lord. 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 Should we pray? Ooh, hallelujah. Should we pray every day? Should we pray for ourselves? Should we pray for other people? What should we pray? Your will, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and sing that, guys.
I'll sing.